Welcome back to the Be Real presents Humble Alpha. Life's only one take, be real, because there is no be real. Be humble, stay hungry. So today on the guest tour, got a very special guest. I actually been privileged to be able to meet this dude once more at the gym, where we've got a collective of all the people that have been on this podcast. And just goes to show you right there, you meet great people at the gym. So go work out, stay active. But this dude, we've been trying to get on here for the past 2 weeks, but we just keep missing each other, just timing, conflict, and scheduling stuff. So I'm very happy to have this dude on. He's actually about to go overseas for a year. I'll let him talk about that a little bit more, but you know, just really think he has a great story and you guys will be able to get some benefit from what he has to say. So with all due respect, JJ, introduce yourself.
Yes, sir. My name's JJ. Like you said, brother, just trying to get big, trying to get like you, bro.
Yeah, not me, bro.
Nah, always. Always. And, yeah, about to leave here in about 2 weeks, going overseas.
So you're going on active duty, right? By the way, appreciate your service, you know?
Yeah.
It takes a lot to be able to even do that.
For sure. For sure. Somebody's got to do it.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Could be me.
Yeah, so I was active duty for about 5 years, and then I joined the Guard.
Yeah.
And then now I got, we'll be on active duty orders while we're over there. So.
So with your active duty going into this next year, where are you going?
We're going to Africa.
Africa South. Yeah.
Sure.
Just Africa.
Yeah, Africa.
The whole continent,
yeah.
Africa.
Yeah.
All right, respect. So after this year of time, because I don't know how military contracts work, but I know different branches have different things. Like,
right.
When you're done with this tour, are you officially done with military duty, or you still have...
Nah, so I extended 8 months just so I could go on this deployment, and then if I re-enlist over there, I get a bonus. I haven't decided if I want to do that yet.
Right. So what would that entail? Longer time there?
Longer time in the National Guard overall.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so when I get back, it just go back to month to month.
So it's that rookie contract extension deal.
Exactly. Exactly.
So about military and that mindset, I know that's different, but there's that sense of brotherhood. And I know I said it couldn't be me, but I actually dabbled with the idea post-high school of joining the military. Because my uncle was in the military, he was in the Army, then he was in the National Guard for a bit, and now he's a Richmond City police officer. But that sense of brotherhood and team, like, you know, if you're an athlete growing up and you don't play sport at the next level, I feel like that's the next step for most because of that. Does that
right.
kind of apply to why you got into military or something different? Because I know you played football, right?
Right.
You play other sports?
Football and baseball.
Football and baseball.
Yeah.
So to that aspect, kind of... push you towards military or something different?
Ever since I got adopted, like, I didn't know nothing about the military before that, you know? I literally thought I was 50 Cent's illegitimate child before I was adopted. And then you get a new perspective of life after going through a traumatic experience, you know?
Right.
So, like, seeing all my mentors after that, they all had served. Right.
Shows the influence around.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I wanted to know why they were mentors to me. Why I felt like I could go to them instead of role models that weren't there for me.
That weren't real.
You know, that weren't real.
They weren't relevant to you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's deep.
And then I overlooked it, and then I came back to it around 8th grade, and I realized they always served. And then all my friends... All your friends are like-minded. That's why they're your friends, right?
Yeah.
They all wanted to serve, too.
Yeah.
And then it just kept going and going and going. Okay. So I didn't finish football. I quit football around 10th grade or 11th grade.
So your junior year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then because I knew I wanted to serve.
Yeah.
I didn't want to waste anybody's time. And then it just went from there.
Right.
And then 2 weeks after I graduated, I shipped off to basic training.
Sheesh. I mean, that goes to show, like, the power of influence. Like, that's just the people in your life that you looked up to, which is kind of what for your journey, you saw that, you saw value in that. So for you, there was no other option.
Right.
You're like, yeah, I'm going to do this because I see these men as high function, or women too, high functioning people. And I want to follow their steps because that's the path that was laid out for me. That's deep. That's deep. But where are we going to go with that? So you're in the National Guard now. And
right.
You enlisted as a Army?
Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah. So we went to Fort Benning, Georgia.
From Uncle Wynn.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yes,
stories.
Sir.
He's got plenty of stories, yeah.
Went to Fort Benning, Georgia. That's where basic training took place. I joined the infantry. So whenever you join the infantry, it's called the 11 X-ray. You can either be an infantryman or a mortarman.
Mm-hmm.
11 Bravo or 11 Charlie. They put me with the 11 Bravos as the infantryman. And then after that, went to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, where I was with the 101st Airborne Division as a machine gunner. Yes, sir. And then I was a machine gunner, assistant machine gunner, and then I was the gunner, and then I was the squad leader for a little bit because we didn't have any big dogs around.
Yeah, you had to step up.
Exactly.
Respect.
I did that for 5 years, and then I thought I was done. You get to the point, it's like doing a job where you figure out you're pretty much done with the bull crap that
right.
comes with it.
Right.
And we weren't deploying anymore. Like, I went to Africa with the 101st. And then when we got back, it was just training and training and training and
so
training.
You just felt like time was being wasted.
Exactly.
Feel that.
Exactly.
Feel that.
It's like playing football, but you get benched.
Yeah. Feel that.
You don't get to play the game. I'm trying to play the game.
Right.
I wanted to play the game.
I'm here to be actually on the team and do the shit. Like,
exactly.
I'm not that role player. Like, I am the player.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I got out, and then that brotherhood, man, like you talked about.
Yeah, it's tough, bro.
Like,
but it's legit.
Adjusting back to the civilian world. I miss that brotherhood, and that brotherhood came. It hit me harder than I thought it would, and then I missed it.
Was that, you feel like, the biggest loss that you had to do in your transition?
No, because then I found it in the National Guard, and I would still be able to adapt to the civilian world. I would say it was a sense of purpose.
Yeah, okay.
Like, that's I had awesome. Purpose while active duty, you know?
Because you're actually fighting for something.
Exactly.
You got that
or training for something.
Yeah, I feel that in regards to athletics. Like, that first year not playing football, because I did 2 years of college, so that's third year, my junior year of college.
Yeah.
Not playing the game anymore, it was a loss of identity. Because all I've known was football for 13 years, so I have a whole year where no off-season workouts, no conditioning, no practice, no two-a-days, nothing, bro. You're just... What is life? Like, what's going
exactly.
on?
Exactly. You lose that sense of identity. You start questioning everything you did in your life.
Everything. Like, nothing makes sense anymore. So, that's kind of, that was your life in and your transition out. So, like, in regards to, because you're not really out. You're still involved with the National Guard. So
correct.
You still have that sense of purpose within that.
Right.
When it comes to being a civilian, though, like a functioning human, do you find it harder, because you said the loss of brotherhood, so do you find it hard to like connect and link with people that are not military based or have that duty?
At first, yes.
Okay.
I say it took me about 2 years to adjust.
Trust thing, or is it just the sense
just
of
to be like, hey,
comfort,
you're cool, I'm cool, we're friends now. Like, it
sense
used
of
to
being
be
on the same team.
Like 2 years ago, I'd look at you and be like, ah, oh, yeah, sir, I ain't fucking with him.
Okay.
Exactly. And then that's when it comes to like-minded. Like, I had to try to find like-minded people that were in the civilian world.
Did you find it hard to be able to open up with that? Because I know military itself brings a lot of baggage. Like, you guys see heavy shit that people can only one imagine or kind of get an idea based off movies, but movies are Hollywood scripted, so you don't even know what the full extent of what
right.
that weight carries.
Right.
So, like, do you feel like that's a factor, too? Like, just that much weight that you carry, it was just hard to be able to open up and put yourself in that position?
I mean, like, people wouldn't understand, so why talk about it, you know?
True.
And then I would just hold that baggage.
Yeah. That's tough too. Damn,
all that baggage hold you down, man. I felt like a mule walking around in a civilian world.
Heavy.
I still do sometimes. Until you get to talk to people that understand, and right. You get it off your chest, lighten that load.
Right.
And then, of course, going to the gym, getting that work in.
Yeah.
And then finding those people in the spirit world that you can talk to about civilian world stuff.
Yeah.
And then realizing that the military, for me anyway, the military wasn't everything about me.
Correct. So you're not seeing your identity anymore.
Exactly.
And where your title was.
Exactly. I thought my whole identity was being a grunt.
Yeah.
Being a leader of soldiers.
That's all you could do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But now it's so much more than that. I have so much more to offer.
That's growth. That's growth. That's so good to hear that you're figuring that you've discovered that about yourself. Like that epiphany, bro, is so huge in so many different aspects. Because I feel like everybody as a person has shit they go through. We all have trauma that we hold on to whether we know it or not.
Facts.
And if we don't come to terms or put ourselves in a position to challenge these thoughts or just bring awareness to it, we're just stuck. And like you said, you feel like a mule because you're just heavy.
Right.
All the time.
Right.
If you don't have that experience to get out of that heaviness, you're always going to be heavy. And bro, from knowing you, I've never seen you as a heavy guy, but looking at you right now, I can see the weight that you once was around you. So I was like,
oh, it's like an aura, bro.
It's all right there. I can see it piled up. I'm like, shit, okay, this man's carried some shit. Well, you're so much lighter now because you had that. So do you find the gym being therapeutic for you?
Oh, fat. Oh, 100%. 100%. If it wasn't for trying to better myself physically, and then because finding out how to do it mentally was not a, it still ain't a strong suit of mine, you know. That's the hardest part. So, like, doing something that sucks every day makes it so much easier.
Controllable suck, too.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know you're putting yourself through it, but at the same time, you know you're getting out.
Right.
It's that aspect. Whereas the mental side, like this thing up here has so many fucking layers to it. Like you can just touch the base of something and you're not even remotely close to getting to the core of it.
Right.
And it could be the complete opposite end of what the core of that feeling is. So it's just so much work. Whereas in the gym, I'm like, all right, I want to work out hard. Let me 5x5 deadlift at a heavy fucking weight room.
Right.
Kill myself and then go home and just sleep it off. It's a lot.
Thanks.
It's a lot. Mentally, bro. So, what do you find? Because I know for football taught me the aspect of punctuality. You can control very few things in life. Always be on time. And that's the aspect of if we were late, we were running laps or doing gassers or doing burpees. So, like, I have a fear of being late to everything. So, I'm always early to everything.
Yeah.
Because of that part of football alone. Also taught me the idea of leadership, being able to bring a group of people together that have different strengths and different weaknesses and make something and build something and create, you know, the common goal of winning. Let's get through this. Let's get over it.
Growth.
And then the aspect of, what's the word I'm looking for? Fuck. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Is that mentality kicking in?
Yeah, bro. So many different things. But anyway, those two, right now, all things going to come to you once you start telling yours. But what traits and characteristics do you feel that you've gotten from being in the military?
Leadership, for one. Knowing how to be calm in stressful situations where everybody's, like, freaking out, don't know what to do. Looking around for somebody to take control.
Got it.
I'm already there.
It's there.
It's there.
The word I was thinking of was responsibility.
Responsibility.
We all have our own job. Do your fucking job.
It, preach, my brother.
That's what the
preach,
word
my
was.
Brother. They're like, even somebody that works out, goes to work, and does their job can still lack that responsibility.
Yeah. Because they're just going
through
emotions. They're not helping themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. They're just going through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point of that? Why are we put on this earth just to go through the motions?
And then they want to know why they're so sad or unfulfilled, because they're not taking care of what's here.
Exactly.
They're just living the number statistic and taking care of somebody else's pockets, which is crazy to me. Crazy to me.
Well, the responsibility that came with being in the military and then coming back and then applying that responsibility to my job and then wanting to grow to provide for myself instead of living paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
I couldn't ask for any better trait to have.
Yeah.
To acquire.
Because, like, you're so routine-based in military that you can, it's not, it's second nature.
I mean, for sure. I mean, I went from having my parents tell me where to be, when to be there, what to wear, what to eat.
Yeah.
To go into Uncle Sam tell me to.
Yeah, but Uncle Sam's a little more strict.
Uncle Sam's a little more strict.
He'll put his hands on you.
They'll treat you like adults until you fuck them over.
Yeah.
And then they'll hold your hand like a child.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I do now with my soldiers. Like, I treat them like adults.
Yep.
Until
respect. Teach you how to respect.
Exactly.
Superior.
Have that responsibility for themselves. Once they lose that responsibility, I take over.
Mm-hmm.
I become Uncle Sam. And I hold your hand like a goddamn child.
Walk through it. You give me a big
and
major,
then I teach you that responsibility, and then you can teach somebody
vibes.
Else. Exactly, bro.
Fucking big failure to communicate.
I'm sick and tired of all these diesels out here, you know what I'm saying?
So in the long run, bro, what drives you? What gets you up in the morning to do what it is that you do? What lights that fire underneath you?
Dang, that's a good one. I would say those that can't be here now. I realized that I couldn't be a part of, I mean, I'm still, it's still tickling in my mind just to go back in to be a part of the special operations community.
Okay.
But like, those dudes are hard dudes. And like, some of them didn't make it home. And they sacrificed their blood, sweat, and tears to do that job. And then not be able to complete their mission in the world,
mm-hmm.
to have more to offer. So I'm going to push myself wherever it may be to give them that, to carry out their glory,
mm-hmm.
and honor.
To pay their respects.
Exactly. That's what drives me.
That's deep.
It's not, I mean, a lot of people would say, man, I just want to be better for myself, for my family. But why? You know?
That deeper
what
meaning.
About, exactly, bro. That deeper meaning.
Yeah.
I want my children to look at me and be like, damn, that's my dad. He
and
did this, this, and this, and this.
Everything that you've done. And see their, pay their respects to you from an early age.
Exactly.
Be able to look at you as their hero.
I want that domino effect.
Yeah.
I want my children's children, my children's children to be like, damn, that's my dad.
That's my granddad.
And that's my granddad. That's my great granddad.
Yeah.
He did that shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that shit.
Those got goosebumps, bro. That's real.
You get me deep out here, goddamn
it. It's real, bro. Yeah, because I see you just fuck around with the front all the time. We gotta dive into some things around here. So what are you working on right now? What's your project? I know you're getting ready to leave in what, a week?
Got about 2.5 weeks.
So are you kind of just spending this time freelancing and just...
Freelancing, bro.
Yeah. So you're just ready to get over there.
Yeah.
And
do
when
my
you're there,
job.
You're just locked in.
Yeah. I'm a whole different animal overseas. Okay, I ain't going to lie.
I can see it. That baggage just comes right back up.
Oh,
bro.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking Super Saiyan aura.
I'm like that Chinese pop balloon, bro, just hovering. Getting that into, you know what I'm saying?
That's how you get over to South Carolina and they shoot you down. So as far as mental state, you talked a lot about what I perceive as discipline, that responsibility, taking care of your shit, having that ownership of yourself, but also playing a bigger part to others. I know PTSD is a real thing in military. I'm not saying that you've probably experienced that, but I'm just saying as a human, because mental wellness is like the buzzword around town because it is a very real thing. And since pandemic, it's only been more spotlit in our life. Do you have even if it's just day-to-day stuff, do you have mental ailments or
blocks
that you face daily? And if so, how do you face those?
Yes. When it comes to looking at my life, when I get home, be like, damn, what did I do today? I went to work, did the same old shit for shit pay when I could have been in the army still.
Yeah.
Training soldiers, doing something I'm actually good at instead of signing people up for a gym. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, man, the whole mental caps, like, me having that ability to fall back and just hop on the Xbox and talk to the boys I serve with.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, bro, what did you do today? Why? What could you have done better? How could you have grown? What did you spend your money on today?
Yeah.
You bought some donuts and a Hostess at Quick Trip. When you could have...
What you invest in.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are we doing for ourselves now?
Right.
Getting over those blocks, man. Like, a lot of dudes, like, men's mental awareness. I thought it was a joke, man.
That's just real,
I thought these people are crying for nothing.
That's just real as hell. That's real, bro.
And, like, me, I got way too much pride. I ain't gonna lie. I got too much pride to go do with a doc and talk about my feelings.
Yeah.
I hate feelings. I hate showing emotions. Yeah. I mean, that probably came from being adopted.
Yeah,
that's the tough guy in me, bro. Yeah. I got way too much pride for all that. Maybe I'll get over it. Maybe I'll mature a little bit and get over that.
Together, bro. You'll be all about it. We'll be having deep talks every fucking Friday.
That'd be good for both of us. I ain't gonna lie.
Bro, it's good to have someone to talk to. And, like, exactly. For myself, I've battled with depression a lot of my life. It runs in my family. Very few bouts of anxiety. But, mental. Sorry, I was trying to fight between the phone ringing and all that. It's very much real for me, but I know that no one's gonna come get me out of it. Like, it's my responsibility, and the fact that I'm aware of my situation, I have pride in the aspect that I don't want pity. I don't want someone to feel sorry for me. I don't want someone to come to try to make things better. Because at the end of the day, like, I have to choose to get better, and I have to take that responsibility. So for everything that I do, I make sure I take care of myself in that aspect. Because I've seen what it looks like as far as the extreme ends of it with my mom. Like, I've seen my mom go through serious bouts of depression and not leave her room for 3 days at a time. And, like, seeing that, like, I just don't want that to be true for my life. I've seen my granddad go through isolation phases. I've seen my uncles go through isolation phases. I've seen the triggers that, like, spark anger and all this. And I just don't want that for my life. So I take responsibility in the aspect that I work out, keep my mental right. I meditate regularly, stretch, take care of my body, because a strong body means a strong mind.
Facts.
I'm trying to eat better. I'm just fucking around right now, but I will eat better.
Me too, bro. Me too.
Because that mind-gut connection is huge, and how you feed your body and fuel your body will pay dividends in how you think and how you process. And then also, like, I see counseling. Like, I have a counselor that I go to pretty regularly just to talk things out, because there's so much that goes on up here. And for what I want to do as far as life coaching and mentality coaching, as well as football coaching and training, like, I want to not only be my best self, I want to make other people their best selves. I want to push them towards that. And if I can't handle what's up here first, I'm not going to be that asset to other people, because I want to be that asset. Like, I want everybody I interact with to be like, damn, I want to get better today. Even if it's the littlest thing. Because a lot of times we overlook the aspect that one little difference can be the biggest spark of growth for ourselves. Like, even reading one page, huge. Working out for 10 minutes, huge. It's a momentum effect. You just do it daily, day after day.
Day after day.
Some days will be great, some days won't. But doing the smallest thing, so small that there's no way that you can fail it unless you choose not to do it. If I can't read a page a day, and I say I'm not going to read a page a day, I failed. I fucked that up. That's going to be stupid heavy now because I couldn't read one page.
Yeah.
What am I doing for myself? So for you, talking to your boys back home, bro, it's just the aspect like, yeah, on paper we could do all these great fucking things.
Yeah.
Like I can get a whole list of shit done, but every day is not going to be like that. So small victories. So if I worked out today or I didn't want to work out, yeah, bro, I pumped some heavy shit in the gym, just on the mic talking to them. Or I didn't want to sell any memberships. I sold 3 memberships. Whatever, it didn't really do me any good, but I still did something.
Went through the motions.
Yeah, productive, bro.
Yeah, productive.
But don't just go through the motions. Don't just show up and not be yourself. So when I think of going through the motions, I think of depriving yourself of who you are. Because we're all individuals. We all have a gift. We all have a light in this world. We all have something to offer. So if I'm going to the motions, I'm just here. I'm not talking to anybody. I'm just training people. My clients, I'm just telling them to do 5 to 10. There's no interaction. I'm not showing my light of who I am. I'm not giving my gift. So for you, when you think you're going to the motions, you're really not. Because you're here. You're up front. You're showing people JJ. You're giving them that. For you to go to the motions would be just, you sit right there at that desk. All you do is, you're good. Oh, nope, come back, stand again. That's going to the motions. That's being so dull and so numb to life that you don't even give life yourself. You just see yourself as a stat, as an ant in the colony, not doing shit. That's one of the motions. But all that to say, we often overlook how much shit we actually need to get done to feel like we accomplished something, when really it should be so minuscule, something so small. If I woke up today and I did shit, even if it's one little thing, gave a homeless guy some money, I did something good for the world. I made a difference. And that will carry over. And that will continue to carry over as long as I'm there processing what I did. Because that's my biggest fault. I don't give myself the credit that I need for my victories. I feel like I do a lot of cool shit. But even when I do it, I'll sit there and the voice in my head's like, bro, you can do more. You can do more. You can do more. You can do more.
Oh, facts.
To the point that facts. I'm not even celebrating myself anymore. I'm doing, yep. I did something really cool. And I'm like, oh, fuck, bro, I could have done better. I could do something else. And it's like, what? That's no credit. That's no credit. And that's like a big base of what I was described. What I was told was perfectionism within myself. So I can give everybody the grace in the world. I'm very understanding. I'm very forgiving. I'm very, like, we can have a conversation. You just give me snippets of what you say, I'll make it make sense. But for myself, one little fuck up, that's, I'm a shitty person. Terrible. I need to do something. I need to do more.
That's like pride in us, dog.
That's terrible. But I'm getting better at it. I'm getting better at it. So again, all that to say, we got to give ourselves more credit. Because as men, we are responsible for a lot. But if we don't take care of ourselves, we can't take care of shit else. You know? Big facts. Big facts. So, that was a lot long-ass rant. So, big thing now, because I feel like the last 3 podcasts I talked with, or maybe 2 of them, Dan and Metric, we talked about. So, you being the other light-skinned dude, we got to talk about relationships,
for sure.
Bro. How are you with relationships? What's your take on relationships these days?
Ooh, touchy. Touchy. Touch and go, man.
How so?
Man, relationships, being overseas, man, and then
tough, yeah,
it ain't good for a relationship.
No, get that
unless you got that letter. Strong, that strong relationship that I wish I had back then. But ours wasn't that strong, you know, and it slipped. And then I didn't want to. I still don't want to get involved again like that, you know.
Right.
Until I find the one, you know. But trial and error, for sure.
For sure. I mean, that's all it really is. You got to try to find your person. And sometimes the people we think are people aren't really our people.
For sure.
You don't know that until you try. But the biggest thing with that is being able to let go when we know they're not our person.
Oh, yeah.
There's too many times that we try to make them our person when they're not supposed to be our person.
It's like a bungee cord. I attach it to something, and then it's real easy just to unhook it real quick. That's just me, though. It's bad. I know it's bad.
Yeah.
But I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
That's just the cold mentality. I mean, that's just... But it's good to have that, bro. But I just feel like it's tough to date in this day and age because it's the abundance mentality. Like, we get dating apps and all this shit that's everywhere. And versus people of trying to put work in to understand and, like, come to terms with saying, hey, you are not my person. You can say one wrong thing, they cut you off because they got four other people on standby. Yep. Like, hey, I'll just go talk to them instead.
Or they just drag them along. Drag them along for six, 8 months.
For what? And while they're still talking to Joe Schmo and whatever, you know? It's like, that's just twisted. It's so twisted. And, like, I don't know. There's so many things that can be fixed with communication and just understanding feelings. But I feel like pandemic showed straight up that people have a hard time of processing themselves. And that we've been so busy of distracting ourselves with social media and stuff that when they force us into isolation and be by ourselves, we couldn't handle it.
Oh, it showed people's true colors.
People freaked the fuck out. They didn't know how to do anything anymore. Whereas me, I loved it. Like, I don't mind being on my own. Like, I recharge the most on my own. So, like, it was very powerful for me. And I had just moved here. So it gave me the experience to, like, come to terms with who I was back home, who I'm trying to be in this new era of life, and like, what actually is my being? Who the fuck is Baylor? What's he about? What's he gonna do? And it was just very eye-opening. And when the pandemic was over, I was like, fuck yeah, let's go, let's do some shit. But other people, I seen them just like fold because they never had that time alone. They had to process so much up here, and it was just a lot.
Yeah,
that
I was one of those people.
Yeah, but you've come out the other side, bro, and you're a better person for it. Look at you, you're on a podcast now, bro, talking about all the things. Whereas before, you probably would have never been on this thing. You would have been like, "No, I'm good."
Yeah, for sure.
I'm good. So music, you work out. What are you listening to?
Man, I ain't gonna lie. I listened to some opera working out chess last night. I ain't gonna lie. But no, I'm on a mostly rap game, bro.
Okay.
I'll throw in some country here and there, mostly Coulter Wall, but I'm a country boy, man. I told you, man.
Grass-fed, blue collar.
I was. I got adopted by white folk and then pretty much changed the game for me when it came to my music sense.
Who are you listening to right now? For the people listening. One song.
Listening.
Artist.
My song right now?
Yeah, go to.
Got way better at Spotify.
Yeah, do your thing. While he's doing that, just a quick plug for me. I'm starting my coaching YouTube channel with Humble Alpha Coaching. I'll post the link in the bio for this for you guys interested, and you guys can start following that. Because I'll keep the podcast as far as a guest presentation, get my guest count up, and then I'll have that as far as one-on-one content with you as the viewer. Cool. What you got?
Little Double O, man.
Little Double O
and Suicide Boys.
Suicide Boys?
Yeah, bro. Suicide Boys get you right. Talk about mental caps. Suicide Boys.
They sing, they have a song from like a throwback. It's like, they wear the mask and stuff, right?
Yeah.
What's it called? Double O?
Little Double O? That's no, he's song? A rapper. I'm listening to Little Double O, 007 by Little Double O.
007, a little 00. Yeah. All right, what
and
else?
Man, Suicide Boys. Every single song.
Okay.
Just listen to it all.
Gotcha. Love that. So, what's your biggest thing you're trying to accomplish before you leave?
Before I leave?
Yeah. What's going to, when you hit that plane and touch down Africa, what's going to be like, yeah, I got everything done before I went?
Oof.
Not like everything, like as far as like big time planning, but like what's going to be your contentment before you leave?
Showing my parents I appreciate them.
Okay.
I'm still working on that.
Yeah.
Like, they did a lot for me. I took it for granted.
We all do.
Yeah. And now that time's coming where, I mean, God willing, I come home. But if I don't, then they know.
Yeah.
I love them.
I love them. Peace.
And then,
love.
You know, hanging out with the boys as much as I can before I leave.
That's real. That's real. I mean, even something as like a dinner.
Yeah, exactly.
Conversation with them is huge.
Yeah,
that's love. For sure. I felt the love in that statement. It's huge. Respect. 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 So if you, as far as what you've dealt with mental health-wise, being a man, what would be your advice for people that are struggling with, like, depressions or anxieties, or if you had to come to you for advice, someone dealing with the same shit as you, but they ask you for advice, what would you give them?
Three things.
Let's go.
This is my life lesson right here.
Life lesson, okay.
To mental caps.
Run it.
Drink water.
Drink water.
Work out.
Work out.
And talk to people.
Talk to people.
You talk to people literally about anything.
People will listen.
Somebody will listen.
Yeah.
Even if it's about the dumbest shit you can think of.
Yeah.
Just being able to open your mouth and getting words out.
Yeah.
Something will slip in your mind and you'll be able to decompress, get that sandbags off.
Yeah.
Empty them sandbags.
Empty those sandbags.
And try not to fill it back up with sand.
And try to.
But it's always gonna happen. Oh, so that's why we keep talking to people.
They're gonna collect. But yeah, being able to be open.
Yeah.
That's facts. What's your biggest sandbag?
My biggest sandbag?
Yeah.
Shit. Not having emotions.
Not having emotions.
I'm real bad when people come to me looking for
empathy.
Empathy.
Yeah.
Big words. Big words. I'm real bad about showing empathy.
Yeah.
I'm that type of dude, just pat you on the shoulder and be like, it'll be okay.
You got real Sergeant Major vibes, bro. Real Sergeant Major vibes.
Like, even if it was me with the emotion, like, I'm the type of person to pat myself on the shoulder and be like, it'll be okay.
Yeah, just get through it.
And then I go run 5 miles.
Yeah. Drink water.
Drink water, man.
Work out.
Work out.
Talk to people.
You live some heavy shit.
Empty those sandbags.
It's chemicals. I don't know what about the chemicals. Yeah. I ain't that smart. But it releases chemicals.
Yeah, it releases dopamine, serotonin. This relieves the pressure.
Relieves the pressure.
Because, you know, like I said, we all carry so much up here. And, like, to the point where we carry so much here that's invisible, but it's so heavy that our physical shows how heavy it is.
Facts.
You know, and that's crazy to think about, that we can carry so much space up here that our physical gets fucking drained.
People too comfortable, man.
Yeah.
You get comfortable, the mental caps start coming, you start overthinking shit.
Mm-hmm. One guy I'm friends with out here, his name's Garrett Maxey. We went out one time, and I end up, like, I'll just randomly get in my head. And, like, I'll just start thinking shit. And just fight a whole fucking battle in here. But he looked at me and said, it's never that serious. Don't take it serious. Just,
it is what it is, bro.
Yeah. And once you're able to let that piece go and just take that time and take that break, life's so much lighter, so much more fulfilling.
Facts.
But, yeah, I don't see you as the empathetic type. You got emotions. You've shown some emotions here today.
Yeah, a little bit.
You said some emotions.
Boy, you got me talking about deep shit, bro.
Hey, bro, that's what we do.
Hey.
And it's just casual conversation. Just
trying to be real, too.
That's, hey, life's only one take, dog. So, kind of wrapping it up here. It's been a great conversation. Learned a lot about you. It's good to see you outside of the jokey side and more of like this dude's got a heart. And he's not just going to kill everybody. He's actually a good dude. First of all, what's your social media platforms for people that want to follow you, check you out?
I ain't going to be able to spell it. But Instagram, jj.wirebach, last name, WEIERBACH. And then that's pretty much
that's it. Insta.
I only got Insta.
Insta. You heard it. Any plugs for anything that you want to put out there, things you follow, things you do, people you respect?
Plugs.
Plugs.
Supplements.
Okay.
And apparel. Alpha Country.
Supplement?
It's the brand both. Is Alpha Country. Okay. Yeah, they do both. I just bought their whole stack.
Okay.
Alpha that's a retired Green Beret dude. And then solid dudes, man. Yeah, Alpha Country.
Alpha Country. So that's both apparel and subs.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, final thoughts, bro. What do you want to say to the world before you deploy over to Africa, Africa?
Get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Facts.
That is, if I could sketch that on my tombstone, that's what it would be.
Get comfortable being uncomfortable. Love it. So, for y'all listening, this is not really his farewell. He'll be back.
I'll be back.
He'll be back when he gets back from deployment, and then we'll get him on here some more. But long-term goals, just to kind of put it out there so you guys are aware of what's going on here. Metric, who was on here, JJ, who's on here now, and myself, when we get the visual set up and the studio made, we're going to actually do this whole podcast thing together and get the visuals down on YouTube so you guys can interact with three very cool light-skinned individuals that have great personalities and great things to offer. So get ready for that content. Really appreciate JJ getting on here today, and appreciate your service, bro. Appreciate your words, appreciate your heart, appreciate you, dog. So keep doing your thing. You always know you can reach out here. And that's gonna wrap it up. Life's only one take. Be real, because there is no be real.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Deuces.